Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by Upstate Medical University and University Hospital. This is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. Well, listeners, over the past year, we've brought you a handful of conversations about occupational health, illness and injuries that result from problems in the workplace. We've talked about everything from sick buildings and safety issues to problems that result from farming and more. This morning's topic is one we haven't talked about before, but I promise once you hear about it, it will become far more recognizable. Let's put a picture in your head first. You use a cell phone or you have a dish-type TV antenna. You're aware that transmission takes place along a series of very tall towers, even electric towers that seem to march through the landscape. You see them alongside the road on occasion or going up a hill or a mountain. Well, do you ever wonder how those towers were built? Or how those transmitters were put up on top of them? Or how wires were strung between them? Or what happens when either the tower or the transmitter or the wires need to be repaired? Now, let me introduce you to Wally Reardon. Good morning, Wally.
Good morning.
Welcome to HealthLink On Air.
Thank you.
Tell us how those towers or the equipment that is attached to them gets put up.
Well, they're put on remote sites very often, and they're brought out there by, sometimes they're, we've worked on mountaintops where we've had to have our equipment dragged up the hill by log skidders.
Right, but you're building these towers.
Yeah.
And in order to build these towers, sometimes you have to climb these towers and work around these towers. That's what you've done for a living, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's been a life-changing experience for me. I was afraid of heights before I started climbing towers.
Oh, my gosh. All right. So what I have to think of is, you know, I see these towers, and they're enormous. They're just enormous. Mm-hmm. And so if I think about somebody climbing one of these towers, I have to really wonder either how brave they are or what's wrong with them at all. Do you get accused of that?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
And tell me why you would even be willing to climb one of those towers.
For the thrill. I worked in a feed mill before I started climbing.
Yeah, and you said you were afraid of heights?
And I was afraid of heights, and I liked climbing the elevators because it would get me out of the nonsense that I had to do in the feed mill, so I would get up in the air, and a high school friend of mine worked for a tower company. He was a fabricator,
mm-hmm.
and he saw me on the grain elevator and asked me if I'd like to work for a tower company. I said, that sounds awesome. And I asked him how tall those towers were, and he said some of them are over 1,000 feet. That's me.
That's you. Okay, let's talk about who these tower climbers are. How many tower climbers are there, say, in New York State? Do you know?
We don't know exactly. When I started, we had a rough idea. We knew of 5 tower companies that were in the state at the time, and this is in the late 80s, early mm-hmm. 1990s. And there weren't very many climbers at all, and we were a tight-knit bunch.
You were. I imagine you knew everybody.
Yeah.
All right, so you climb these towers, and you were hired by whom to climb them?
Sailor companies, broadcast companies, TV radio stations, emergency broadcast services.
And some of them own the towers, and some of them just own equipment that's attached to the towers?
Yeah. Originally, when I first started, most of them owned the towers themselves, but as the sailor industry boom began, mm-hmm. More and more tower companies started actually owning the towers and leasing it out.
And I've got to think there are many, many more towers than there used to be as well.
Oh, yeah. It's phenomenal to see how many towers have gone up, and there's a lot of moratoriums in towns on towers and having them put up, which creates the problem of overloading of the towers because we're co-locating so many carriers on one.
Oh my gosh!
One individual tower.
And then does weight become an issue on the ones that have too much stuff on them?
Weight becomes an issue, and the actual climbing on the tower becomes an issue because more and more of the tower becomes obstructed by existing antennas, booms, transmission lines.
So now we're talking about occupational health because this really does become a health issue in any number of ways. Tell us about some of the problems, safety issues certainly, that can happen being beyond the obvious of falling off of one or falling down one partially. Tell us what some of the problems can be.
Sure. In 1995, OSHA began a policy of 100% tie-off.
And that means?
And you need to be connected to the tower 100% of the time.
Okay.
So in theory, nobody should be falling from a tower.
Okay.
And the fatalities that exist today are something that I really want to dig into. But my question to the tower industry was, when I started working on this, was this has gone into effect over 10 years ago. Why are we still seeing tower climbers die on a yearly basis?
Yeah.
And the numbers that are so, the statistics haven't really changed a whole lot.
Really? Do a lot of tower climbers die each year?
From what we can tell, from falling off from towers, and that's the main statistic that's mm-hmm. been kept, it's on average around 10 to 12 a year, but
really?
That doesn't mean that some years there have been like 18 or 19 fatalities.
Well, of course, if you're the family of one, or if you're that person, then that's 100%, and that's too many.
Absolutely.
What are some of the other issues you run into as far as health is concerned or safety?
The climbing faces are extremely hard to climb on. There's a what we call a device. It's called a safety climb, and it's really hard to explain to people, just listeners. But it's a wire cable usually that goes up the tower from the bottom to the top, and it's on one particular area of the tower, and you have to climb up that and stay connected to the tower. And you've got other equipment that you can safely climb, but it's real tedious because you've got to connect one device and connect the other to stay connected to the structure at all times.
I see. So you're really actually working just to stay attached to the tower.
Working just to stay attached to the tower, and you've got a positioning device, lanyard, that helps you sit in. But you're supposed to be connected with a fall arrest system, which decelerates your fall if you actually fall.
What about things like, can you get electrocuted, for instance?
Sure, you can be electrocuted. There's been electrocutions on towers. Frostbite is a major issue in the wintertime.
Oh, my gosh, I wouldn't even think about frostbite.
Oh, absolutely. A broken finger can be fatal if you're working over 1,000 feet in the air. In fact, there's a fatality in 2007. A climber cut his finger.
Oh, my gosh.
And he cut his finger pretty badly, and he was coming down the tower, and he didn't bother tying himself off to the tower. What I heard is he was taping his finger when he fell somehow, but he fell to his death with a cut finger.
And
that was always our theory. When you're working over 500 to 700 feet in the air, you need to be very cautious about what you're doing.
Well, I guess so. I guess that would almost go without saying. And, you know, I've played golf even here locally where there are electrical towers that go through, and I can feel my hair standing up on my skin. So there must be some kind of a static something that could create problems as well.
There are certain towers, AM towers, are energized. The complete tower is energized, and it's isolated.
Mm.
So you can be burned very badly standing on the ground and touching the tower. And getting in certain areas of the tower, or if there's other AM towers around you generating,
mm-hmm.
it can also create a field that you can be burned on.
Wow.
All right, so
now let's go back to the whole point is that somebody hires you to do this work,
mm-hmm.
and there are huge safety issues involved in doing this kind of work. And I've got to think that in this day and age, and especially in this tough economy, there are some constraints that are being put on you as tower climbers and as people who are working on this equipment that create even bigger safety issues. I mean, the whole idea of saving money or not spending enough money, do you find safety issues from that as well?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, in 1995, when this policy from OSHA began, the cellular industry took off and the boom began.
Mm-hmm.
So there was immense pressure to work under enormous time constraints to get multiple sites up in the air. So there were small companies, and like I said, there were only a few of us at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of demand put on us to get a whole bunch of sites put up as quickly as possible. And for the number of companies that were, we just couldn't keep up with the demand. So other companies started throwing their hat into the ring,
mm-hmm.
who weren't particularly adapted to this field of work. There were electricians, general contractors, carpenters.
So these are people who understood those aspects of the job, but not the actual tower-related aspects
absolutely.
Of the job.
Absolutely.
Interesting. Well, now you've retired from tower climbing yourself.
Yes.
Yes. When was the last time you were up a tower?
In January of 2002.
Ah, okay. So it's been a few years.
Yeah.
And now you've decided to pull together a conference that will address the health and safety issues of tower climbers. Tell us about your conference.
Yeah, we're trying to get together a group of climbers, and we want to get as many of them as we can.
Okay.
And we're looking we're inviting regulators, academics,
families?
Researchers, families.
I have to think that if something happens to a tower climber, the whole family is affected by the problem.
The whole family is affected by the work and by a catastrophic failure.
Yeah.
When a worker is injured, incredible demand is put on the family.
Sure.
How are you going to feed yourself?
Sure.
A coworker was horribly injured, had his leg crushed, And he told me, he said, I went from making, you know, $900 to $1,000 a week.
Wow.
Down to nothing. And my wife and I depended on that labor. And she was just a waitress.
And I've got to even think that insurance issues would be huge. When you have a very risky career like that, then it's tougher to get life insurance. It's unless the company would provide health insurance, you'd have trouble getting that too.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. And when you become injured, you need to supplement your insurance through COBRA. And it is so expensive.
Very
so expensive.
Yes, it is. So your conference, April 24th, I know, is the date. And you're hoping that tower climbers and their families and the professionals, you said regulators would be there.
Yes.
And do you also have, like, safety people from the state and things like that coming?
Yes.
People like that coming?
Yes, we've invited people from OSHA and from New York Face Fatality Assessment and Control Evaluation.
Very good.
They've been very helpful to us and very positive about the experience.
Well, I expect we're going to hear a lot more about this. I thank you so much for coming by this morning, Wally. We've all learned something. I know when I drive down the road the next time, I'm going to see towers in a very different way.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
And listeners, we do need to take a break. Please stay with us. This is Upstate's HealthLink on air on 570 WSYR.